Hello again, and happy Sabbath, and happy summer. I guess it's summer now. So I want to thank Ray for his message and kind of looking forward towards trumpet. You should know that I redo my sermons, and this is a this is an upgrade from my Pentecost message. So now we're going to go back a little bit and remind us where we came from Pentecost, and but it goes forward. You'll see. It's called Peter and the New Man. You know, one of the dominant characters in the New Testament portion of our Bibles is a man named Simon, son of Jonah. Jesus called him Peter. And this man from Galilee was a fisherman. He was a husband, he was a provider, and he was a sinner. He worked with him and had fishing partners named James and John, the sons of Zebedee. These four fishermen would become four of the 12 apostles. Now, this story is about Peter. I want us to consider where and how we started our relationship with Jesus Christ and compare it to Peter's. I'm sure we weren't in a boat fishing when Jesus called us. I want you also to recall your original calling and that excitement and anything that parallels with Peter. And see and recognize your oath from where you came. Peter would be taught by Jesus himself. What a blessing that is. Jesus would give Peter special insights as well as the tasks that he was to attend to. Apostles, that blessed are you who believe if you have not seen. And that's talking about us. We haven't seen, but yet there were the apostles such as Timothy. He had to have proof. He had to have that physical evidence. But again, we believe and have not seen. Now, Jesus has promised his disciples to live transformed lives. He said, "The Father is sending a great helper, the Holy Spirit, in my name to teach you everything, to remind you of everything that I've said." One disciple listening on that transformation that was coming through the helper. That disciple was the Apostle Peter. Peter would make mistakes, be corrected, make more mistakes, bear, and then recover with the help of the Holy Spirit. And he would lead to the beginning of the church that Christ promised he would build. Peter would stand up before a crowd and deliver a powerfully eloquent turn, change thousands of human lives. It would indeed change human history. So how did Jesus and Peter first meet? Now, consider, Jesus had usually divided by the Passovers that were kept. And in the first year of his ministry, he was going out and preaching and talking to people, but he wasn't calling his disciples as yet. So we can turn to John, and let's find out about how this meeting of people, Jesus and Peter, happened. So in John 1 and verse 40, let's start there. Now, Andrew and John were sons of Zebedee. They were fishing partners. They had first become disciples. So starting in verse 40, one of the two who had heard John speak and followed him, that was John the Baptist, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So you have following John the Baptist. Verse 41, he first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We've found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought Simon Bar-Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. The aromatic word for stone. And the Greek has same word, Petros, and it's translated into English as Peter. So this is how Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon's son, and Jonah came to be. Some say Peter was called in three stages. The first stage that we just talked about was how Jesus was introduced to him for the first time. The second stage is identified as along the Sea of Galilee, saw Peter and Andrew casting fishing nets into the sea. And Jesus would say those famous words, "Follow me." So let's turn to Matthew. This will be an easy sermon to turn to. We're going to use same book, and just a few pages apart most of the time. So Matthew chapter 4, story in verse 12. It says, "Now when Jesus had heard that John had been put into prison, he departed from Galilee." His first year he was talking to different people, and right here he was in Nazareth, and he had just been denied by his own people. And in verse 13, "Leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum," which is Zebulun and Naphtali. The Sea of Galilee, it's in northern Israel. It's a beautiful place. It's where the headwater of the Jordan River, and a lot of fishing there. A lot of fishing, a lot of little cities on the side. And verse 17, let's move down to there. "From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven.' And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men.' They left their nets and followed him. And going from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. In a ship was Zebedee, their father, mending nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and Jesus." Do you remember the day when your eyes were open? When you began to understand and answer that calling from God? In those days, we did not have the Spirit, but it was calling us. We had an invitation, a calling, a zeal, but that Spirit was gifted to us and started to dwell. But first, we had to live with that. Peter, he also had an unconverted mind. So did all the disciples. They all had unconverted minds. Peter, Jesus, he was married. He gave up his trade that fed his family in order to follow Jesus and answer his calling. So I ask, what change did we take from our former that calling? Let's turn to Luke 5 and let's look at a parallel to the same story. That's the beauty of the Gospels. They harmonize many times. So Luke 5, starting in verse 1, deeper. "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the words of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." So this is when there was some feeding going on of, I believe, "and two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon had said to him, 'Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word.'" Peter was questioning Jesus, the master. "But when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat." We know those partners were also "and both boats, so they began to sink. And Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" So what did Peter do on the boat? He doubted Jesus' request. But ultimately, he did what the master requested. And afterwards, to being a sinful man, it seems Peter would be provided some life-changing blessings of knowing and talking to the Christ, the Son of God in the flesh. And Jesus would mentor and teach Peter lessons that leader. Now, the third stage of Peter's calling is said to be when Jesus called his disciples unto himself. And from there, he chose 12, whom he named apostles. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. starting in verse 12. Days that he went out of the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Now, I don't know if you know this, that the Sea of Galilee, above the Sea of Galilee, you have what we know as the Mount of the Beatitudes, be a mile away up the hill. So he went up to the mountain to pray and continued all night. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. From there, he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Now, this is a little nugget. We read this very often, and we don't get reminded very often who the apostles are. Well, here you go. So he named apostles. Simon, verse 14, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, and John. Now, John would be the one, Philip and Bartholomew. Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became the traitor. Now later, what follows depicts both the weakness of human beings, strength of God. Much to his credit, Peter showed a willingness to try the humanly impossible, to actually walk on water. Let's now change book 14, and we'll stay there for a little while. Matthew 14. And this starts in verse 22, Matthew 14. And straightway Jesus constrained him to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And while he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. And when evening had come, he was there alone. Sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. You know, it was interesting, when we went on the Sea of Galilee, it was as smooth as glass. But that wind can come whipping down, create quite a mess in the water. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke to him, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said to him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to you. And he said, come. And then Peter was come down to the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind that was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. He stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? The wind ceased, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped, saying, of truth, you art the Son of God. Hearing Jesus' reassuring word and his reassuring voice from the Lord, Peter stepped overboard while none of the others dared leave the safety of the ship. He began walking towards his master, seemingly doing the impossible. And this provides a faithful lesson. This kind of trusting relationship is a gift from God. But it is a gift that must be nurtured. Matthew 16, let's turn to the next chapter. In Scripture, Peter initially misunderstands Jesus, and Jesus corrects him. There's nothing worse than being corrected by your boss. You're trying to do what you think is right, and you mess up. And the boss, sometimes they're nice, sometimes they're not nice. But, you know, we get the point, and that's how we grow. Starting in verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And Jesus said to him, but who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded the disciples he should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. At that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. To rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of but the things of men." We get stuck in the same rut when we don't have the Spirit of God. We are mindful of the things of men and not the things of God. And that seems to be the real big problem with the world today. Peter was also a witness, along with his former fishing partners, James and John, to another miracle: the apparent transfiguration of Jesus into his glorified state. The next chapter, Matthew 17, starting in verse 1. "Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up onto a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared. Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Now, God showed these apostles a preview of things to come. Returns to earth, he will resurrect both the lawgiver Moses and Elijah, and they will reign forever with Christ in his kingdom. Now, moving on to verse 5. "But now while he was speaking, overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out from the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him.' And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid of them, saying, 'Arise, do not be afraid.' And when they lifted their eyes, there was no one but Jesus there only." God revealed that Jesus was much greater than Moses or Elijah. God. And after this divine confirmation, the visionary images of Moses and Elijah were gone, but Jesus was still there. This apostle Peter, throughout his life and throughout his ministry, just before his martyrdom, he reminded his readers of the incredible occurrence of this final in his final. Let me read this to you from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. 2 Peter 1, 16 through 18. "For we did not follow cunningly deceived fables when we made known to you the power and the coming, but were eyewitness of his majesty. For their honor, when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.' And when we heard the voice which came from heaven, when we were there with him on the mountain," the young Peter did not have the Spirit of God. He was still flesh and unable to understand that which was spiritual. In his unmanageable flesh, he knew Jesus Christ. Now, after Jesus and his apostles observed the Passover on the night before his crucifixion, they went out onto the Mount of Olives. Gospel messages tell of the shameful denial of Jesus by Peter. Let's look in Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. Story. Starting in verse 31. "And the Lord said, 'Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat.'" Wheat is sifted. You get this beautiful ear of wheat, and it just gets broken up into pieces. So it's like Jesus is saying, Satan just wants to tear you apart into pieces. In verse 8, "Your faith should not strengthen your brethren.
But he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And they said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you shall deny that you know me. You will deny that you know me. Words to say to a good friend. You're going to pretend you don't know me. And after Christ's arrest and while he was being shuffled between the Jewish and Roman authorities, Peter, who was following nearby, did exactly and acted in a very cowardly manner that sent him into deep remorse. Let's continue in Luke 22, starting in verse 54. Having arrested away and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. You know, it's kind of interesting. Why was he following? Was he scared? Was he curious? Did he want to know if they were going to come after the apostles as well? Now, when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, and you know, fire is kind of bright and dark, and oh, the fire flickering. She looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, woman. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you are also of them. Peter said, man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently, affirmatively saying, surely this fellow was with them, for he's a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I don't know what you're saying. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned, and Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said to him before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter wearily. Peter had a role as a unique leader among the apostles. Peter came to a moment where he saw himself in a way he never saw himself before. Earlier, Jesus said that Peter would deny him three times. Peter denied that would ever happen. He believed it was beyond what was capable. He thought he was above anything like that. But Peter's cowardly action at the most critical moment of Christ's earthly life would highlight the underperformance of Peter in living. This is one of the most dramatic moments in the Gospels when Peter denies his friend and teacher Jesus three times. Many convicting thoughts must. Was it his lack of faith? Was he just scared? Was he in fear? Or was it the repentant embarrassment of knowing that Jesus, he heard me? You ever say something about somebody and they're right behind you? That's really embarrassing. You ever hang up the phone and the phone's really not hung up and you said something bad? That's embarrassing. This was life terrifying for Peter. He denied God. Now, later events would prove this was going to be a turning point in Peter's life. Peter would begin changing, and at the end, he'd be a different person. The power would change his life. Jesus understands the weakness of our flesh and our minds, that we lack willpower and conviction to know what we should. He also understood the apostles didn't have the power of God's Spirit within them. So they couldn't yet understand and comprehend their weaknesses and where those weaknesses came from. They wanted to do right as shown by their promise of loyalty, but Jesus knew better. Later, through the ability to perceive provided by God's Spirit, they would understand. They would come to see the fear of other people can overwhelm our best laid plans. Peter denied Jesus publicly, even as his master was being beaten and humiliated in the high priest. Peter's denial shows the weaknesses
of our human frame.
Had we stood in Peter's sandals at this frightening time, would we have denied Christ?
Christ for lesser things today? Do we hide our faith? Do we hide our beliefs?
Do we at times fail on being a witness? We have the Spirit that gives us the power to not fear these things. Out, Peter showed courage by following at a distance. He didn't know what was going to happen. And why? He panicked. And bystanders questioned him. He panicked. And the rooster crowed at the precise point of Peter's third denial was just a reminder of his lack of conviction. So 40 days later, after Jesus was crucified, and after he was resurrected, seven of the apostles, they went fishing all night. All night long they fished, but they caught nothing. Seems to be a recurring story when Jesus is going to show up. So when the sun rose, they saw a man at the shore. It was Jesus, although the disciples, they didn't know it was him. So let's look at the tail end of the Gospels, John 21. John chapter 21. And starting in verse 1. So after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. See, they went fishing out proclaiming the gospel. They weren't out feeding God's sheep. They were fishing. They had gone back to what seemed like their original job. And they said, yeah, we're going with you also. And they went out and immediately got in the boat, and that night they caught nothing. So it was Jesus, and Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered, no. And he said to them, cast your net to the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. So they cast, and now they're not a multitude of fish. Is this reminding them of anything? Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he removed it and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they're not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the fish in the net with them. And as they stood, they'd come to the land. They saw and fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you've just caught. And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, Jesus said to them, come, eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. You know, that's interesting too. Show up again, and they did not recognize him. Something in the spirit about that. Jesus, verse 13, came and took the bread and gave it to him, and likewise. This is the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. That's quite a miracle in itself. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said to him, he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, all things, you know I love you. And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." And this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to me, this exchange reminds us of the three times the bystanders questioned Peter's association with Jesus. Now Jesus went and questioned Peter three times about his love. Jesus' gentle rebuke was no doubt made a huge impression on the disciple. So not long after this, on the day of Pentecost, 10 days later, God of the ages, the gift of... From that day, the apostles were a transformed man, willing to risk their lives for the sake of Jesus the Messiah. Peter would faithfully feed and tend Christ's sheep and lambs, those whom God would call. He delivered a sermon on that Sabbath, that Pentecost day, boldly, with conviction. The power of God's Holy Spirit. That sermon characterized the remainder of Peter's life, a dedicated life to God and mankind. When the disciples at Pentecost, we see Peter was changed, powerfully transformed from the proud yet cowardly friend he had been of Christ. Peter stood up among the disciples and the multitude, delivering an inspiring message to thousands who were the disciples speaking in many different languages. Let me break into Acts 2, verse 14 through 16. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judah and all who dwell, be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." Now this scene here in Jerusalem is recorded in Acts, told by the prophet Joel, who wrote that God would pour out his spirit on mankind. Joel 2, 28 and 29 says, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour my spirit in those days." Of the Holy Spirit coming to man would transform lives in those who would hear and respond. Men and women of all times would have the opportunity to call. Listening that morning, the crowd was stunned to hear that Jesus of Nazareth, whom they had seen and heard, was not only from the Father, but how to live as children. They were terrified that they're the ones who helped persecute him. Those who watched Christ teach, here's to leave the mentally tormented, were now learning they had seen God walking among them. Peter's that morning message was full of hope. There was no more doubting. It was a message that God can restore the years that were lost. The promise of the Holy Spirit is a promise from God that to provide the help to recover from the ravages of sin and its destruction. Peter's message had a profound effect on his listeners. They were hearing a new message. And for the first time, they saw a way forward from the way they were currently living. There came a moment when they had to act and decide. It's similar to the moment when Peter denied knowing Jesus and was struck by the turn of Jesus' head and his loving. Peter came to the decisive moment in his message and said, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." And when the words penetrated their minds, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They each essentially felt Jesus Peter on the night he was crucified. Today, Jesus is looking at us with turn away. What then? What do we do? Peter had their attention. He said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Give the gift of the Holy Spirit." So God began to give his Holy Spirit and power to those willing to change and to look into the eyes of Christ and to admit, "I am a sinner who needs your help." So do we follow Peter's example? What does it mean to us? Can we see ourselves in Peter's Galilee as he stepped out of the boat into the waves, trying to walk out in the water? Can we imagine having that kind of faith? Consider where and how we started our relationship, how far we've come. Peter was a fisherman whom God remade into a fisher of men. Today, Jesus encourages us to feed his sheep and tend his lambs. The world and prepare a family, a people, for the family of God. We're to be fishers of men and women, and we're to cast a wide net on the face of the earth, as the man Peter learned. So here's the challenge. Jesus Christ is looking at us now as he did Peter then. In his eyes, to follow him, to become his trusted disciple. It is a summons to become one who walk in his footsteps and to do what he taught and what he practiced. God is giving us the opportunity to change our lives, the opportunity to get out of the rut that missed the summons to a new way of life. Peter melted in despair that night of Christ's arrest, and he ran. But the story didn't end there. Peter returned and became the leader. He became the rock. He would accomplish great things by the power of the living, resurrected Jesus Christ within him, the power that is the Holy Spirit. And great things by the power of Jesus within us as well.